WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yes.
All right.
Absent.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yes.
All right.
Absent.
You're listening to Isn't It Beautiful by Chicago artist, poet, and musician Damon Locks. This song is off his latest project called List of Demands. This entire album is inspired by his poetry and writing, as well as the voices of Black speakers who created movements and helped spark change. Voices like Angela Davis, Ruby Dee, Sun Ra, Linton Kwesi Johnson, and more. Locks is heading to Los Angeles to play his first ever solo show. But first, he stopped by the WBEZ studio. Damon's entire album is based on spoken and text-based work. He began by telling us why he wanted to go in this direction with List of Demands.
I've been making music for a long time, and lyrics have always been really important to me. And I do like, you know, text-based recitations with the group Exploding Star Orchestra, Rob Mazurek's Exploding Star Orchestra. And occasionally on Black Monument, my group, I will do that. But I never really put any kind of focus on it. And I felt like it was time. I was asked by Experimental Sound Studio to create something I haven't done before. And I said, well, I'm doing all the things I want to do. But you know what? Let's make some work that's based around the text.
Yeah. Interesting. So you touched on it there, but it was based on your live performance for an exhibit at the Museum of Contemporary Photography.
Correct.
Here in Chicago.
Yeah.
So talk more about how things evolved over the 2 years that you spent making this.
Well, I didn't know that it was going to be an album. I had done the show. The show went well. The performance went well. And Alex Nglesian, who was the engineer, was like, I'd really love to record this material.
Mm-hmm.
So we would just jump in the studio like every couple months to work on the thing. And I'd bring in guests to be on it. But I didn't really have a timeline and I didn't really have an expectation that it would be a record. But because of that, because it took 2 years, life would hand me more inspiration.
Of course.
And then would go back and rework some things and recreate things. And then at some point I was like, I need to finish this record. And I feel like I finished it at the right time.
Yeah. And you include a lot of archival sounds, speeches. Talk more about where you found everything.
Well, it's become second nature to me to dive into archives. And archives can be anything. It can be a documentary. It could be a old TV show. It can be audio recordings. It can be a VHS tape that was transferred onto YouTube about breakdancing. I'm just digging in and watching and listening for like a turn of phrase that excites me. And then I'll grab it, hold on to it, grab it, make it into a sample, hold on to it until the piece or the sounds or the ideas match up, and then I'll pull it out.
So is that the secret? So you're listening for maybe a line that just excites you.
Yes. What I find super interesting about samples is that it's like other kinds of collage. If you were to make a visual collage,
right,
and you were like, I'm going to cut out this tree and I'm going to put it against this outer space on the ocean, and you make a new collage. So you have that new image that you have to deal with. But you also have the original tree with the original light mm-hmm. and the original grain of the film and the textures that came along with it. So you have to figure out how to combine that with the new image. So with text, you have someone saying something in a particular time with a particular recording mm-hmm. with a particular emotion and a set of things. So you get all of that within the new context as well.
I want to play another song. This is The Signal Is Hot.
Hour by hour, from day to day, the dial turns and clicks further and further towards the unknown.
So when you combine music and spoken and text-based work in this way, talk more about the magic that you think you're creating.
The magic I think I'm creating. I'm really just trying to follow my instincts and keep my intentions to the forefront. Mm-hmm. So when I'm creating something, there are some ideas that are propelling the pieces, and I try to find the sounds and the text and the whole character mm-hmm. To express the idea.
I imagine the music and the pacing also determines how you deliver the words.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. And so something might have to be fast, something has to be slow, depending on the vibe. And then sometimes I'll find pieces of archival text that won't be necessarily saying the same thing that I'm saying, but will make it more interesting in juxtaposition or in width.
I see. You layer the sounds?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. Some might say that you are a master then in the craft of sampling.
I haven't heard that, but I'll accept it.
I would think so. This is incredible work. I mean, what do you think you have to consider when you're doing this, when you're experimenting with sounds like this?
I think about the final product. I think about the vibe. I also think about how do you ask a question sonically? Because giving people the answer to something, people don't stay with it as long. So if you're asking a question, then people will return to it.
Yeah.
And think about it. So from the composition, from the text, and from the samples, these are questions that I'm asking.
Yeah. Let's hear more. This is Reversed.
You have found me, I have found you. We have found ourselves in an impossible situation. The volume is too high. The angle is too wide. We have found ourselves.
So some of the lyrics there that we just heard, you have found me, I have found you, we have found ourselves in an impossible situation. This is written on the cover art of this album. Why did you go with the lyrics of Reversed for the cover?
Well, I was finishing the record at the end of last year, right around election time.
That's a time.
And it felt like those lyrics were already the intro to the album, but they felt to me like the mission statement of the record in some ways.
Well, this is the first
track song on the record.
On the album, yeah. Seems fitting.
Yeah.
Our producer, Micah, is actually in a visual collage workshop right now.
Oh, nice.
Because we want to get into your process. Do you have all your pieces of audio cut and then go in and try to figure out the theme or the story for the sound collage? Or do you already have an idea of, you know, what you want the collage to be about, and then you find the pieces that you want to cut that relate to that idea?
It's kind of different. There are different processes. I store lots of samples that I collect. When I'm doing solo performances, I often am playing around with the sounds, and sometimes they kind of collect together and it becomes kind of a song.
Yes.
And so when I was thinking about the album, there are several things that I would gravitate, like, oh, these collection of sounds have already formed a song. Maybe I'll see what kind of text goes with that.
But then
sometimes I'll have the text and I'll be looking for sound that goes with it, or sometimes I'll have the sound and I'll have to create text to it. So I just try to follow the music.
Yes. Yeah. I want to look behind those lyrics on the cover too, literally, because I also see that there's some handwritten lyrics from the song List of Demands. We can only really make out a few words. I can picture something in my mind. The only way I know how it will turn out. You see, we can't rely on the people downtown to take care of our business.
To take care of our business, because you see, they can't even take care of their business.
What is this message about?
Well, the way it's presented, there's a key. There's kind of a key to the booklet that's inside the record that has the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
The handwritten texts predominantly are the text of the samples. And the type text are my words. That's how I kind of juxtapose it. So the things that are being said on samples, you know, I think that they are, they beautifully connect to the text that I'm giving. So I often will leave that interpretation to the listener, mm-hmm. but I have my own intentions. You know.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. Yeah. I think people, listeners, viewers, they appreciate that. Sort of the freedom to be able to let their minds wander and not sort of be told or fed.
Yeah.
This is what I want you to think of this creative thing.
I have my ideas.
Right. But sometimes I think as an artist, and you tell me, do people ever come back to you with interpretations of your work that you're like, well, you know what? That's actually not what I meant to do, but I'm glad you saw it that way.
That happens sometimes. I feel like more often than not, when using intention as the like kind of focal point of the of making the work,
mm-hmm.
more often than not, someone will come back with almost the exact reading that you thought that was happening.
See?
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So the title, it's inspired by your work with the Prison and Neighborhood Arts Education Project at the Stateville Correctional Center. You worked with a group to create a document of their desires, so their list of demands,
mm-hmm.
if you will. At the end of the song, you say, this is our list of demands, beauty, form, destiny, love, time, future, and light.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Well, that was a piece of artwork that I made. Originally, the list of demands. And I think that that actually partially inspired a class that I taught at Stateville through PNAP, Prison and Neighborhood Arts Education Project, where we decided that we would make a document that talked about what art on the inside should be. And so we spent 7 weeks creating a document, the text for a document that listed their like aspirations, their principles, and their demands.
Mm-hmm.
So we created that. And as I was developing the album and List of Demands became the title track,
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, this is perfect. This is a perfect match. We're going to print out the poster and put in
like this has got to have a bigger role now.
Yeah. So...
As you said, you created that list in 2023. We're sitting here together in 2025. Do you think that list of demands has changed for you?
Well, my form, beauty, future, and light,
mm-hmm.
no, I that's still my list of demands.
That's still your list of demands.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
I think that that is an interesting way of thinking about demands. Form, beauty, future and light, those are things that you maybe don't consider if you're making a list of demands. But I think those are perfectly good and are very kind of liberatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love a reference that you make about influence for this work. It's kind of like that unspoken truth of the black nod, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Which is that again, that unspoken form of communication between black folks, right? You and I can look at each other and, you know, just,
hey, how you doing?
Just share a nod. We're doing it right now. Right. Just share a nod. And we know what's behind that nod. We know what comes with it. Tell me why you think of that in reference to just inspiration for your work.
Yeah, I think about the black nod. I think about the unspoken acknowledgement that happens on the street corner, mm-hmm. or Bed Bath and Beyond, or wherever. And I think that implies an understanding. And I thought, what would it mean to make work, artwork, inside the black nod? And what would that look like? And so that's been a project in my mind for years, especially when I formed Black Monument Ensemble.
Yeah, you know? Oh, that's such a great thought.
Yeah.
Right? Let's listen to another song. This is Click.
Yesterday I woke up in a panic. Not the panic that swallows every sound and spins the wheel frantically, but the panic where everywhere all the animals are crying. The insects are too. Birds, frogs, the kingdom of spiders, all prophecy, all allegory. The skyscrapers are on fire. I stay tuned in, but the radio only plays a voice in the distance that is all but shrouded in static.
I read somewhere that this new album is the most Damon Locke's album so far. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean,
what makes a Damon Locke's album?
Phew, that's a good question.
Or what makes the Damon Locke's sound?
You know what? I don't know. I really don't know, because I think the work, I try to make the work as close to my like artistic DNA as possible, mm-hmm. and probably since I made almost all the decisions around all the material in this record. I mean, shout out to Ben Lamar Gay, Macy Stewart, Ralph Darden, and Krista Franklin, who are guests on the record.
Yes.
But besides that, I did everything. So that's probably why it is the most Damon project.
What did it feel like to have a different level of control this time around?
Well, I'm a collaborator by nature, but it was very interesting to, you know, hear what it sounds like when I've made all the decisions.
Is it more free?
It's not more free. It is probably just more concentrated Damon.
Just more Damon Locke.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned earlier, you are heading out of here and you're off to Los Angeles.
Correct.
For your show there on the 26th. Congratulations on that booking. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I haven't done this in LA before.
Is LA ready?
We'll find out. The Philosophical Research Center. It's a great name, so I'm very excited to be there.
So when will you be back in Chicago, and where can folks catch you next?
March 6th at the Co-Prosperity Sphere. I will be performing there for the record release. It'll be simulcast on Lumpen Radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Some will be looking out for that.
Yeah.
We have been talking with Chicago visual artist, educator, vocalist, and musician Damon Locke. His new album, List of Demands, is out now. Such a great pleasure to chat with you, Damon.
Thanks for having me.
So we're going to go out on one more song, of course. Here's Distance.
Distance is in miles, because the distance between you and I is a fiction. What we are speaking of is proximity. Proximity creates empathy, a closeness in heart, nerve.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meh Ahmed. We drop two episodes a day on our podcast feed with a special episode on Saturdays. To make sure you never miss a conversation, subscribe wherever you listen or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Have a great day.
Despite the miles, we were never really distant. Urban renewal, redlining, and blockbusting, that's distant. Disinvestment and destabilization, murder and disenfranchisement are the story, nonfiction. The half has never been told. And so it's distance that remains.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.